movie marathoners, and welcome to the Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K series, a series of short episodes centered on the films released at the 2021 Sundance Film Festival. I'm your host, Mati, and in this episode, I'm joined by film critic Chris Harder, aka Alsican, on Twitch. And we're reviewing Wild Indian. We literally just saw it, so these are our fresh, fresh takes. Chris, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How's your festival been? Mine's been pretty awesome.
Mine has been awesome as well. Just laying in bed, eating and drinking, watching movies. Can't really get any better than that.
Not too different from a regular weekend, to be honest, but
yeah, really.
These are new movies, so it's exciting. Well, let's just get straight into it. And just as a reminder, every Sundance 5K series episode will be completely spoiler-free. So first, a synopsis of Wild Indian. Two men are inextricably bound together after covering up the savage murder of a schoolmate. After years of separation following wildly divergent paths, they must confront how their traumatic secret has irrevocably shaped their lives. Wild Indian stars Michael Greyeyes, Chask Spencer, and Jesse Eisenberg, kinda. It is written and directed by Lyle Mitchell Corbin Jr. All right, Chris, million-dollar question right off the bat. Instant thoughts on Wild Indian.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, right, to just jump on and talk about something away, right after seeing it. But it's also kind of cool because you get that more immediate reaction, right? I liked it. I did. I actually quite liked it. It wasn't what I was expecting based on the synopsis.
No, the synopsis is very misleading.
Yeah, it's very misleading. It struck a lot of surprises for me. And yeah, I ended up really liking it. What about you?
I agree. You know, opening part, which you kind of get like in the 80s when they're kids part, I wasn't really vibing with too hard. I found that a little bit, I don't know, it's just like the kids weren't great actors and it's tough when you have kid actors, but that part didn't really hook me. But then the second that we hop into whatever year this takes place in, probably 2020 or 2019, that whole rest of the film is really captivating. And I really like the performances from Michael Greyeyes, but specifically Chask Spencer as, what's his name? Teto?
Teto, yeah.
Yeah, really great performance from him.
Yes, that I did scribble down a few notes. You know, I try to balance out the note taking with the movie watching, you know, as we go along on these. But I did write that down with Chask. I think you're right. Chasky Spencer had never seen him before in anything that I recall. Incredible. I thought incredible.
You haven't seen the Twilight movies then?
Because no,
he's
I have
a
not
star of the Twilight movies.
Okay. Yeah, no, I have not.
Yeah, we looked it up on IMDb. I don't for the life of me remember which of the like 12 werewolves he is, but he's one of the werewolves.
Just
a really great performance, I thought. What is the kind of takeaway that you got from this film, the overall takeaway, if there was one?
It's complex. There's a lot going on in here. And I think that goes back. It's hard to actually talk about it without spoiling. I mean, you have a no spoilers on this one. I do think that's rough with this, cause you really don't want to spoil it. Cause I think that's a big part of, what makes it work in the end is, it really is like a slow burn tension. He's really good at building that tension in the story. And I think in the end, that's what I really enjoyed about watching it. As I go and recall it and think about it, I do think the characters, and especially Michael Greyeyes, he has a very subtle, sometimes terrifying performance in this that, yeah. You know, I haven't seen him in a lot of things, but anytime I do, I really like him. The most prominent one was that A24 distributed movie was, I'm blanking on it. Woman Walks Ahead. He plays Sitting Bull. I don't know that many people have actually seen that movie, but
even heard of that.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of under the radar. It's a little mid, I would say, but his performance in that is great. And I think his performance in this is great as well.
He's terrifying in this movie and really gives the title of the film justification, I would say. Like, just pretty scary stuff that this guy's doing. And what I really like about it is that it does play into the whole film in general and sort of the depictions of these different characters. It plays into the ideas of perception and appearance and what you might expect when you hear the title Wild Indian. You know, it is really aware of stereotypes of not just like Native American portrayal, but also just what you expect from a villainous character or a character that you're rooting for. And it really plays with those, I think, is probably the best way to say that without spoiling anything.
Yeah, it's an interesting choice to for him to be the protagonist. I mean, he is the protagonist of the film. And I think, you know, this film went through a screenwriter's lab. The writer and director went through a screenwriter's lab for Sundance, director's lab with Sundance. And I have to believe that people told him that, you know, you have to be really careful with protagonists like this, because you could lose your audience for him, you know, whatever his struggle is. But I think he does it. I think he gets it, especially by the end, which, you know, we obviously can't say too much about. But it's a very complex character. And I noticed what you said about the sort of like legacy or lineage. I wrote down, and there's a lot of motif on like tattoos and skin and scars and those sorts of things, which I think play into a lot of our perceptions and expectations on what, you know, a Native story is. And there's a lot of, he's doing a lot with that, and it's very interesting. And I liked that a lot.
Yeah, definitely. One of the things that's also really great about this film is that it just has Native American actors and actresses playing people instead of playing Native Americans, you know? And
right.
I think as a society, we've gotten to the point of, you know, having Native American actors not just playing like the savage, quote unquote, Indian in like the old Westerns and stuff like that. But even so, you still get a lot of performances like Westworld where they're more complex, sure, but they're still playing like a Native American character. And in this in this movie, they're playing people that happen to be Native Americans. And I think that's really important and really just refreshing for this film.
I totally agree. They're just people through time, and and I think the time is a very important part of that. And, you know, there's a sort of bookending, and it goes from, you know, when they're children to when they're adults, and time and that legacy or lineage, I think is important there. And yeah, it is hard to talk about without spoiling it, because it there's tension here and some really, really scary stuff, I would say. But it all goes back to the people, like you said, the people and their experiences, you know, over time. It's great.
And I think what's really cool too is that Lyle Mitchell Corbin Jr., he plays with this idea of having a protagonist and having a protagonist that you want to root for. And I don't know about you, but I mean, I certainly sympathize with the protagonist, but I wasn't ever really rooting for him. And I think there were many moments in the film where I was like, I want to root for you. I want you to show me that I can root for you. And then he continues to not. And I think it kind of plays back into that perception of what this character is, what this character looks like compared to other depictions of this character or compared to depictions of other characters in the film. And I think that part is really smart, that this is kind of all just a commentary on what we expect from certain people and what we expect them to look like. I don't know. It's not like a beat you over the head assessment of it, but it just kind of lets you live in that and makes you realize those things on your own.
Right. And it's alluded to very early in the film, so I hope it's okay to say, but it is sort of a Cain and Abel story. And they do mention that. And it's two characters' types diverging. And I think just the idea that they're breaking expectations of, you know, especially where they go. And you think you know one and they turn into another, and you think you know the other and they turn into another. And that piece of time definitely shows complexity and it through experience, I think, which was the most important part for me.
I will say that the film is really short, and sometimes I was like, I could use more. I could use more going on, either that or a little more information on what happened to the Teto character or why the Michael Gray Eyes character is doing some of the things that he's doing. And I do feel like this is definitely, I don't know if it is. Do you know if this is a directorial debut?
It is, I believe so. But he had two shorts at Sundance.
Okay.
And I don't actually know if those were sort of like those were short to feature something with this, so that there would be like short versions of something coming into this. I don't know, because I never actually saw them. So, but yeah, I agree with that. And the pacing, it has very good pacing. I think it might be a little slow. Like I said, it is like a slow burn.
Yeah.
He has a style too, where, you know, everything kind of feels like on a tripod, you know, it's very much just like yeah. shot composition and, you know, shot reversal, that sort of stuff. And all of the tension is really in the characters. And like you said, sometimes you have to assume that you might have to put some assumptions on what they're going through, because their struggles, whatever they may be, are very internal. Mm-hmm. And that can sort of affect the pace, I think, at least for part of it. Then there's sort of a turn. There is a plot, though. I want to make sure we say that there is a definite plot, and there is a good turn at one point, and I really feel it goes from there.
Oh yeah, there's a jarring moment, and there's a couple of them where you're just like, holy right. shit, which I wasn't really expecting, especially because most of this film is pretty quiet. And I mean, uneventful sounds like a negative thing. It's not. It's just kind of true. There's not a lot happening, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, where this film goes is definitely propelling. And then at the end, it sort of just ends really quickly, I thought.
Right.
Sort of purposefully, I think. But mm-hmm. also, I just wish, like, I would have kept watching this and these characters right. in this world.
Yeah, it feels like a short story movie.
Yeah. Yeah, very first feature-y, I would say.
Yeah, it feels like a short story movie. And that's not a knock against it at all. I mean, it just has a style, and it has a way that it wants to release its information to you. And it doesn't want to tell you too much. It wants you to put some of your own ideas, I think, onto the characters or connect those dots. It doesn't want to spoon feed anything. There really isn't. There is flat. It starts more or less with flashbacks, right? Mm-hmm. And it that's kind of your exposition. And there's a huge gap, and they never really do any exposition after that about what happened in that gap. It's very much, it picks right up. So maybe that's just kind of like picking up on its emotional. It ended one way, and it picks right up in the emotions that propel it forward between these two characters, because they have a very complex relationship, and you know, it goes a certain way. We can't say.
I feel like a longer film would definitely have done more flashbacks in the middle, and this mm-hmm. would have been a more, you know, maybe not birth to death kind of thing, but definitely it would have felt like a cumulative story of this guy's life or something. And instead, right. I think this is sort of like you're saying, it's a short story, or not even a short story, but it's kind of a parable in a way of, this is what happened then, and this is what's happening now, and we can now extrapolate what's happening later, instead of right. kind of showing everything that's happening.
Yep. And it is short. It is a very short movie. So, I mean, that's where the pacing and stuff, you know, if it was longer, I don't know, that could be worse for it in a way, with the style that it is.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You want to talk quickly about Jesse Eisenberg, because he's yeah. the big name in this, and yeah. he's
executive producer too.
Oh, okay. That makes a little more sense. He's in exactly three scenes.
Yep.
And they're not particularly useful scenes. He literally plays a character that could be played by anyone. So maybe right. he's just like throwing his name on this because he really admires the project. I don't know.
That's what I would assume. You know, it's Jesse Eisenberg. So when he pops up, it's really hard as an audience member not to be like, hey, it's Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
And be excited by that. I am. I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he is sort of in a role where he has very little to do. But in some ways that speaks for the film, because it's so focused on its two main characters and its protagonist mainly. Right. But it's two main characters that there's really not like white characters in it. Like right. not very many. They're very supporting role characters, and that's part of what's exciting about it, I think. It's not something you see a lot. It's the kind of thing I want to see at Sundance. And he's in it, Jesse Eisenberg, but I think that's okay that it's a few.
Yeah. Well, it's a great film. I think we'd both definitely recommend that you check it out. Chris, to close us out, I'm just trying to ask these dumb little running related questions since we are the Movie Marathoners podcast. But to be frank, I can't come up with a really good one off the top of my head. So I'm going to ask a very obvious one. I would be surprised if you didn't pick the answer that I think you're going to pick. But if you had to run a marathon, would you rather run it with Makua or Teto?
Well, I don't know if I can run a marathon at all, but if I had to, Teto, give me Teto. I gotta find out what happened, during that lapse of time in the movie.
Yeah. What an absolutely nice guy. I think I would be a little concerned if you picked Makua, but this is the crux of doing this episode literally 5 minutes after the movie ends. So maybe I'll come up with something better and I'll tweet you at it. But Chris, thank you so much for joining me. Where can people find your work online?
So I am creating film related content on Twitch as best as I can. That's at Alsikkan, Alsikkan. You can also find me on Twitter, which is at Alsikkan TV.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
This has been a Movie Marathoners Sundance 5K series episode reviewing Wild Indian. Be sure to stay tuned for more Sundance coverage, and you can find all of our Sundance 5K series and the main feature episodes of Movie Marathoners, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, at our website, evergreenpodcasts.com/movie-marathoners, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks so much for listening, and remember that life's a marathon, so let's take it one movie at a time.
Hi, I'm Christina Yerling-Biro, host of the podcast Pop Culture Confidential. Join me as I go way behind the scenes with some of the most influential people in entertainment and media. Hear actors such as Succession's Brian Cox talk about his favorite characters to play.
There always has to be a mystery. The audience have to be in a situation where they want to know what's going on.
Meet studio execs like Pixar chief Pete Docter and learn his secret on how he makes us cry.
Emotion is our first language.
And so many others who are defining popular culture, from Obama speechwriter David Litt to Top Chef host Padma Lakshmi.
We don't often think about food politically, or we don't want to, but it really is.
Join me. Search for Pop Culture Confidential wherever you get your podcasts.